You are tuned into Business Sense on Adventist World Radio, powered by SID Media.
And if you've just joined us, welcome to the show. It is a Business Sense right here on Adventist World Radio. We are powered by SID Media. We are into our second and final hour of the show. It is Business Sense right here on AWR. Remember that you can talk to us on +277 347 0 3520. That is a +277 347 0 3520. I played you that Clo-Clo. Some people say, no, it's not Clo-Clo, it's Clo-Clo. Yeah, glory. Yeah, you know, you must just have a way of pronouncing these things, eh? I grew up in an era where they said there's no master of pronunciation. So there you go. Clo-clo. Clo-clo. Yeah, there you go. I'll try that. Clo-clo. That's how I know. It's coming from Soul Influence, one of my favorites, I must say, kind of growing in me. And I hope that you're also loving them, right? Yeah, bring us to exactly 14 minutes after the hour, 7 p.m. And it's time for us to have our conversation on Cybersecurity Awareness Month for 2023. And that conversation is next.
You are tuned into Business Sense on Adventist World Radio, powered by SID Media.
Now, today marks the end of Cyber Awareness Month, an annual period dedicated to raising awareness around the importance of cybersecurity and educating individuals and organizations on staying safe in the digital world. This year, Cyber Awareness Month came with a compelling message attempting to emphasize the idea that, and I quote, it's easy to stay safe online as long as some simple digital security rules and practices are adhered to. And to talk to us this evening, it is a friend of the show, Muyowa, and we really appreciate it, his time. I believe he's already on the line. Good evening, sir.
Evening, how are you?
I'm doing well. Thank you for asking. And how are you?
I'm okay. I can't complain.
Fantastic. Once again, thank you so much for joining us this evening. Are you well on this gloomy day?
Yeah, I'm okay. Just came in the house not so long ago. It's a very cold day.
Yeah.
I think it's a little bit warmer, just a little bit warmer than yesterday.
Okay.
I think yesterday we could have done with the public holiday in April. Just saying.
Yeah, I think the president was like, not this time around, eh? Not this time around.
Yeah.
I mean, I was listening to him and I said to myself, what was the point? 15th. I mean, companies would have already closed in any case during that time.
And schools as well.
I was like, why do we even need a holiday then? Like, there's no point to it, you know.
But anyway, how are you doing?
No, I'm doing okay. You know, we are here, still kept by the Lord. So we really appreciate the opportunities that He's still giving us to have these conversations. We can't complain. Indeed.
Indeed.
Yeah, I suppose the gloomy weather helps in some sort of way. I'm not an environmentalist, so I'll complain from my own very myopic economic views and training. And you know, environmental people are perhaps very happy about this weather. But anyways, I don't know. It's just me. But once again, thank you so much for joining us, man. Really appreciate your time. I think this is a second, if not the third time we're having this conversation. Cybersecurity Awareness Month. Before we even look at that, I want us to just take a bit of a step back and let's define cybersecurity for our listeners who may not have joined us in the previous conversations.
Okay. Okay, so look, cybersecurity, I think if you had to define it, we've got the internet all around us, and we call that space where we access the internet, you know, for services, for social media, for, you know, education and things like that. We call that space the cyberspace. And when we talk about cybersecurity, we're just making sure that as and when we access that platform, we are secure. Our information is safe, our transactions, if we're purchasing things online, all that stuff is secure. So that's how I would probably define it
Yeah.
as a cybersecurity. Yeah.
Ah, fantastic, fantastic. Now, I suppose then it begs the question. I mean, it sounds, and by the look of things, myself included, we are all online. We're doing transactions, like you said. We're doing all these things online, and gets a little bit more complicated with some apps and some of these other things that you know, our banks and some other you know, organizations are doing around technology, and seems like criminal side of the internet is becoming a thing. So is it really easy to stay safe online when it sounds like the criminals are also doing some creative things as well?
Look, it is easy to stay safe online. Of course, if you look at cybersecurity from a context of if you're not online, you're safe. Similar to if you're not driving a car, you won't get into an accident, most likely, unless you get hit by a car. But it's generally safe. But there are certain things that we can do, you know, out of second nature, that will actually increase the safety that we can, you know, feel online. You know, there's certain things we can do out of second nature because we're so used to doing them, or we've heard them so many times that we're on a lookout for those type of scams. Then that way it becomes a little bit easier.
What are some of those? One or two?
Okay, so I don't know. I believe that over the past month, there's been some tips that's been shared. So probably I think this session is just to relook at some of those tips that have been shared, some of those discussions that have been shared. I think in the past I've spoken about passwords, reusing passwords. It's easier sometimes to use the same password across all your online platforms. But once you get into the habit of saying, no, I've used this password before, I need a new one, then it becomes a little bit easier to stay safe online, because if that account is compromised, it's only that account. If my Twitter account is compromised, it's only Twitter. It doesn't go to my Instagram, it doesn't go to my work, it doesn't go and so on, to my other platforms and so on. And I think also, I think I might have mentioned in the past that passwords is like underwear. I'm sorry to say this. You don't reuse them. You know, every website must have a new password. And there is tools that actually help us to do that. You can either use biometrics. Some apps allow you to log in with biometrics. Some other apps allow you to store your passwords in a password manager.
So having those does really help.
It does. It does.
Yeah.
It does.
Okay. Before we get into some of those then, Cyber Security Awareness Month, what was it about this year?
So this year we're just doing another campaign drive. Of course, we don't want it to be another campaign drive, because next year we'll be doing another campaign drive in the year after. But it was a campaign drive to basically remind people the importance of staying safe online. Making sure that they understand this world, this digital world that they're getting into, that they're doing their transactions on, you know, that they're socializing on. Just to understand its pitfalls, some of its challenges, and some ways that they can protect themselves. As you're about to call me, I was actually watching a video of a guy who was talking about how he got scammed by... he's an American guy. He got scammed by a guy from Nigeria. And he was like, this guy was so good, the way he scammed him on Facebook with all these fake accounts, that he was like, no, man, I really like the way... this is the victim now. He was like, I really like the way that this guy actually scammed me. The scammer actually said to him, listen, I have to do this because I need, once he had paid him the money, he was like, I need to get out of Nigeria and just get to school in Canada. So the victim was now saying, if this guy ever gets out of Nigeria and he makes it to Canada and he makes it to the US, I want to be this guy's friend because he's good. So it's just that reminder again to say that, look, the criminals, they're getting smarter, and they're realizing our patterns of doing things, and they want to disrupt that to be able to, you know, There isn't enough money. I mean, we're talking about Ramaphosa now. There isn't enough money in the economy for people to do things. So scammers want a piece of that money as well. So just a reminder to stay safe online.
And again, it's just a thought from what you're saying that the end that doesn't really justify the means, does it?
No, it doesn't. It doesn't,
Sure.
which is the sad part,
Yeah.
you know, because look, the challenging thing is when you look at your budget, your monthly budget, you already know it's not sufficient for you to carry you through the month. But the way we behave online is if we have got unlimited funds, we're not afraid of people actually trying to access some of the money that we have in the banks because we're reusing the same password on Twitter as on the, on your banking apps. We're also using the same password at work. So we're not really aware that some of the behavioral things that we do could actually impact our wallets, which becomes a big challenge actually.
Sure. I mean, we're going towards the so-called silly season. We are, I suppose, a few weeks away from it, and I'm sure some of these digital scams and cybersecurity threats will start coming our direction, you know? And like you said, it sounds like it's actually, if you're not aware and it's not second nature, like just like that guy, these guys are getting much more advanced and much more good at what they do that we might just fall into this particular trap. A few things then on digital security rules and practices that, like you said, we can be safe online. What are some of those over and above the one that you've already shared?
So let's talk about one that is going to be common during the silly season. You know, let's say for example, for an example, we've got a listener who lives in a house or together with their family, and it's a standalone house. You know how standalone houses, you just they're at the street. During this silly season, the first thing we do when we're on holiday is we want to tell people where we are and how much fun we're having. And one thing we forget is we're actually telling people that we are not at home,
Exactly. I
that
just had that epiphany moment right there. Sure.
even though the lights are on, you know, sometimes we leave the lights on, there's no one there.
Sure.
So people can then say, okay, we have noticed now that they're gone, you know, for this holiday, be it in maybe Durban or Cape Town, or maybe Cape Town people coming to Gauteng or to another country. And then they know they have time. They have time to actually get
Sure.
in the house and take stuff. And that becomes a challenge for us because we're not aware of how to actually carry ourselves versus what we post online versus what the reality is. And the one advice I would share with the listeners on this one is there's nothing wrong with delaying what you did. If you really want to share it with the world, it's all good. But delay that until you come back. You know, so people can know, oh, you're on holiday in Durban. Okay, that's great.
Sure.
And you know, yeah, so I think for me that's one of them. Just it's a simple thing that we can just delay posting special information related to ourselves.
Before I even move to the next one, I mean, I'm sure thinking about that, we've unintendedly communicated with possible thieves, house breakers, whatever you want to call them, that actually we are not home. And I'm thinking now, by even keeping the lights on, we are still unintendedly communicating that we are not home, because I'm sure they monitor these houses and they're like, okay, the lights are on even during the day, which is odd. Because I don't think people, if there's people in the house, they'll still keep the lights on even during the day. So in a way, by just they corroborate, I suppose, those with what they see on social media. And also given the fact that on social media we kinda accept anyone and everyone as friends, when in fact there actually could be thieves or thugs or whatever these guys are that are actually monitoring us and we are posting. And I love what you said, nothing wrong with delaying what you did and posting about what you did. But we are unintendedly communicating that we are not there.
And it's true. Look, if you look at the example that I just shared with you of the guy who was the victim was in the US, a scammer in Nigeria. that whole transaction happened on Facebook.
Yeah.
Actually, on two social media platforms. I think the first one, I forgot what it was. The second one was Facebook. But scammers can now go to the length of creating linked profiles, right? So you've got a father, you've got a mother, you've got maybe a grandson on Facebook following this person. And your natural instinct is, this is an elderly person. They don't have so many friends. And we befriend people who just want a friend request, and once they post reasonable things, and so we think, oh, okay, there's nothing wrong here. So that becomes a bit of a challenge because scammers take time, and I think one thing that if you look at the real world, you compare it to social media. When someone's about to break into your house, they don't plan it the day before and then they come into the house. They take time. They learn your habits. They learn what you do. They learn what time you go out of the house, what time you come back in. And on social media, they do the same thing as well. And they build these profiles over time. The one thing I would suggest listeners to do when they're looking at social media accounts and trying to verify if those accounts are legitimate or not, download the picture. The profile picture and Google it.
Sure.
So Google allows you to take a profile picture and upload it as a search item. And then once you do that, you see who actually comes up, because Google will now compare that across everywhere, and then you can see, okay, is this person legitimate or not? And that's where you now have an idea, because scammers don't take pictures of themselves. They take pictures of the internet.
So if it's a scam, it will tell you that something is not right with this picture.
Yeah. It will tell you something isn't right with this picture.
I mean that
is just a simple way of just trying to understand this person who is inviting you to follow you on Instagram or TikTok, whatever you get it. Is this actually a legitimate person and do they look like this? So Google can actually take that picture and give you the name of the person.
Sure. And then if it doesn't correspond with what you're seeing on their profile or something like that, then definitely there's a bit of a red flag. I mean, I want to go back to the password one. And I know we spoke about it the last time, but I think it's worth reiterating, especially now with this silly season coming through and underscoring the importance of keep on changing your password. How strong should this thing be, given the fact that we eat things that help in us forgetting most of the time?
So, look, there's a number of guidelines that generally exist. We're talking about the length between maybe 12 to 15 characters.
Sure.
Alphanumeric, we can add those. We can add special characters in there and so on. So that would generally determine the strength. But with all that said, password hashtag 123 is alphanumeric. Capital letters, small letters, special characters, all in there, but it's a simple word. Also with general people, the one thing that we want to do, or we honor our family members, is make them password, their names passwords. You find that your mother is Mulebogeng, and you say, my mother's name is Mulebogeng, so I'm going to call myself Mulebogeng, 1981.
Yeah.
My mother was born in 1981.
Yeah.
So I think that becomes a little bit of a challenge. So we need to start thinking about passwords that are away from people we know, places we've stayed in. Pick your own random words and create your own random words if you want to remember something. And another one is just adopting a password manager, getting used to a password manager. Start with storing one account in and slowly shifting little by little. Getting used to a new way of doing things through a password manager.
That really helps. I mean, as I was thinking about this before preparing for the show, Wi-Fi, I mean, we are going to be in restaurants the better part of the day during the silly season and all those sort of stuff. What are some of the practices there to be safe around Wi-Fis in public places?
All right. So I think maybe before we talk about the safe practices, let me tell you maybe what happens when you're on the same Wi-Fi with a threat actor. So that same Wi-Fi code or the Wi-Fi password that you use, you can actually take it to a site, and then it will generate a an encryption key. Now, what you do is, when you're on a network as a threat actor, you sort of what's the word for it? Mirror. But I want to use a different word. You're almost gathering all the network traffic on that Wi-Fi. And once you put in that code, it will put all the information in the website sent by each and every person on the network in clear text. So you can actually see where this person is going, what device they're using. It's just that sometimes that traffic is encrypted because they're going through a banking website that's secure. But at least you know they went to the site. You know the device that they have. So that's the kind of challenge that you can face on public Wi-Fi, meaning that the threat actor can actually get a copy of your traffic, your network traffic. And once they do that, they are then able to guess, for example, what you're doing or your username or your password. It becomes a little bit of a tedious process, but it can be done. Again, it goes back to those passwords. So that's the danger. Now, what can we do? There's a number of things. Generally, I would say if you're doing banking, do it on your own internet. Of course, you can browse through your social medias on the public Wi-Fi. That's fine. Do things with the public Wi-Fi that you're not afraid of losing that account. You know, if your Instagram is stolen, it's not the end of the world. Unless if you are inboxing serious things in their maybe bank accounts or something. But generally, be willing to lose accounts on the public Wi-Fi. Then you should do it in that case. Another one is, of course, you've got these VPNs, these virtual private networks that you can purchase. You can purchase some of those. Some of them are free, although they collect your data, but they will still give you the protection that you need. So I think for me, I like to keep it at two things that users can do. Use things that you're willing to lose and then use VPNs.
And in terms of then private Wi-Fi at home, can these people hack them? Is there a need to constantly change the password as well?
So private Wi-Fi at home, we've got different options. So we've got WPA and then we've got WPA2. And then we've got WIP, I think. If you're using WIP and WPA, then you need to switch to WPA2. In this day and age, now we're talking about WPA3. But those ones are a little bit, I mean, WPA2 is a little bit more secure. You can keep it the same. It's fine. But just remember that when you share your password, you can actually retrieve it. So one thing I always find interesting is when I visit some friends and they say, oh, no, I don't trust you. I'm not going to give you my password. So I'm like, okay, fine, put it on the phone. But once it's on my phone, I can be able to retrieve it in clear text. And I can so it's something that you just need to be aware of. But now and again, I would say maybe at least every 6 months you can change it.
Yeah.
But also don't change it and then forget the password. Then you have to reset the whole.
Hey, people must stop asking for Wi-Fi passwords when they get to our places, man. Hey, they can continue on their own Wi-Fi in their phones.
Well, true, but you still get those hosts that get excited when you know they're hosting and they want to share the Wi-Fi password to you know, and they tell you with this Wi-Fi password you can now update your apps, you know. So.
Yeah, but like, okay,
you still get those hosts.
Even the hosts, man, stop sharing your Wi-Fi. When people get to our houses, they shouldn't feel like we are unchristian. I mean, we're not going to share, you know, the Wi-Fi. Anyways, this two-factor authentication, is it moving us to better cybersecurity practices?
To some extent, yes. It's making it a little bit harder for criminals to get access to our personal information, our bank accounts that we can't even stretch it across a month. So what it actually allows us to do, there's three factors that allow us to authenticate onto a system.
Yeah.
The first one is something that we know.
Yeah.
We know this because we've memorized it, and that tends to be a password.
Yeah.
And then something that we have is generally our biometrics because it's part of us.
Yeah.
We go with it wherever we go. We can't leave it behind. So our fingerprints and things like that. And then something that we have tends to be maybe an access card, a token, or a phone where a two-factor authentication code can be sent to. So a combination, any combination of those three tends to be two-factor authentication. Yeah, and they tend to help because most of the time these criminals don't have access to two. They at least have access to one.
Yeah.
And which tends to be something we know.
Yeah.
Something that you are, it's very difficult for them to have access to that. Yeah, so that tends to help a little bit with access to bank accounts. For example, if you look at most of the banks in South Africa, actually, you most of the transactions that you do, they want a password for you to log into the portal. And then they'll say, we're going to send an authentication code
or
a notification to your phone that you need to approve. They're basically saying, we want to use something you have to also verify that you are who you say you are before we can authorize you to make that transaction. So they do actually make our lives a little bit safe as well. And we should enable those features as we get used to how they work.
Yeah. Just as a side track on this one, you know, I saw this thing, and I'm sure you've seen the joke as well on social media where someone was saying that, you know, a robot is asking me to authenticate that I'm not a robot. You know, those little things there. Any thoughts on that? Is that another way to keep us safe?
Well, generally what tends to happen is these algorithms behind these big tech companies.
Yeah.
Because they've gotten to a stage where they've made a combination of artificial intelligence and machine learning.
Yeah.
To basically reduce their staff count.
Yeah.
So it makes them it makes it easier for them to get these technologies to verify people. The challenge with that is these technologies sometimes, based on how we interact with these big tech companies, it can assume that we're a robot. So for example, if we open up a browser, the first time we're opening up that website in that browser, maybe it's Firefox, Chrome, or Internet Explorer, or Edge, and this robot says, you know what, this is the first time I see this person logging in from this browser.
Yeah.
So I'm going to provide an additional requirement for them to authenticate themselves before I can authorize them to have access to the website. So it does happen. Unfortunately enough, it does happen. We sometimes have to comply and click on all the pictures that show the traffic lights or bridges or crossing things. So we unfortunately do have to comply with that. Otherwise we don't get access.
That makes sense. Software updates, do they also, you know, help in keeping us safe? In other words, when I see that there is a need perhaps to update my software for whatever app or banking or whatever, Is that a thing? And I'm thinking particularly here with my money in this silly season.
So let's put it this way. The reason why software updates exist is some researchers have found weaknesses in that software. So the manufacturers or the developers of the software will say, we need to fix that weakness that allows someone to maybe gain access to any customer's information. And so they release what is called an update. And you'd find that either Apple, Android, you know, Google, they release these updates on a periodic basis, even Microsoft. The important thing is to always take those updates so you can fix the holes. So let me give you a typical example. Banking, for example, they tend to push these updates now and again because they've realized there's a problem here and we need to fix it. The one interesting one that I found is generally people on their browser, because they've got so many tabs open, tabs with different websites or different things they don't want to close. So when they see, let's say, for example, Edge or Chrome saying, update me, please. And it starts off with just a normal color and then they don't update it. It turns orange and it turns red. I almost can guarantee you there's at least one listener listening who still has a Chrome browser that's red right now. It's been screaming, please update me. But it's by nature, we don't want to close and lose things that we're working
yes,
on. So that's one
yes.
thing. The other one is any electronic device needs to be updated, including our televisions. Because we watch, for example, or listen to radios like this on there. And we forget that it's an electronic device that has an operating system and it's connected to the internet and it has weaknesses. And if we don't update them, those weaknesses are going to manifest into someone having unauthorized access to that TV. And anything electronic needs to be updated. If you think about it that way, it becomes a little bit easier.
Someone asking here, can I share my password with my partner, given that it's also a security threat?
So that's a very good question. So I'm going to answer that question and say yes and no.
Okay.
Right. So yes, meaning, let's say, for example, this is a password to Instagram.
Yeah.
By all means, share it.
Yeah.
Because there's nothing wrong there.
Yeah.
But just remind your partner that the word, the account password should not be shared with anyone else.
Yes.
That's fine. But if it's work, if it's a work password, that's a no, because there you are now violating company policy, because company policy says only you should have access to what you have access to.
That makes sense. And I suppose just to continue on this question from the listener, I'm thinking about, you know, this this example of this particular celebrity that died, and the wife could not get access to things like, you know, life cover and all the sort of stuff because she didn't know the passwords or didn't know this and that or some or other information that's normally needed by these life insurers. Hey, how risky is it, or how good is it to share? I mean, I know if you have a partner, I mean, you want to know that when you die, if it so happens, they can be able to find certain things in your phone. But you also don't want to just make it easy, because what if, you know, your phone lands on the wrong hands? Maybe you gave it to your partner or something.
So what you're saying basically reminds me of the parable in Matthew chapter 13.
I
hope it's Matthew chapter 13, where this man finds gold hidden in a field and goes and sells everything that he had and then to buy the field. My understanding of that parable is the owner of that field must have hidden the gold, passed away, forgot to tell his family, and they now were starving and they realize, either we rent out this farm or we sell it. Someone comes along, they rent it out, and then they realize as they're plowing, hey, there's gold here. And they then go and sell everything they have by the field without telling them. So in a similar way, if we were to apply it to what we're talking about, when we think about important things like life cover and things like these, for me, if it pertains to your family and you set up these things for them, it's very good that you need to also communicate it to people to say, hey, should anything happen to me, this is how you look after these things. This is where I've put these things, so that, you know, someone doesn't come and buy the piece of land, if we talk about it in that way, and because they've realized there's gold here, and the people who are supposed to benefit from the gold have got no access to it.
Yeah, I mean, that's when they actually need that password.
Yeah. So for me, there are certain things. So life cover, for example, with banking, it's a little bit tricky because the banks want you to declare to let them know if your spouse passes away almost immediately. So you've got spouses who, when the person dies, immediately they will go and withdraw money because maybe it was a breadwinner. And now they realize by declaring that this person has passed away, all the accounts will be locked down. There won't be food for the month because people must still leave. So that becomes very important, I think, communication and also planning ahead. I think if there's one thing our Adventism has taught us, is to plan ahead. And I think that becomes a little bit important. So passwords as well. Especially when you have a password manager, share the actual main password with your spouse to say, hey, This is where all the passwords are stored.
Yeah.
And yeah.
Oh, fantastic, fantastic. It's easy to stay safe online. Any key fundamental thoughts that came out from that particular, I suppose, campaign that you think you want to leave with us as we draw to a close?
So the last one is don't trust anyone, absolutely no one with links. You know, sometimes when you're on WhatsApp, someone sends you a link, hey, check out this. Or look at what our president has said. Or you're on a WhatsApp group, someone posts a link. Absolutely trust no one with links. There is a website called VirusTotal. Yeah. VirusTotal.
Yeah.
It's one word. You copy a link, you paste it in there, it will tell you what's on that website for you without you actually clicking on it. So copy links, put them on VirusTotal. And if the link is malicious, it will tell you. And don't click on it.
Don't trust anyone with links. Hey, people must stop sending links anyways. It's kind of boring as well. Well, thank you so much.
They always
will. They never listen, but you know these people.
Yeah, just like you will send me a link to this recording.
Oh, that's safe. I can certainly tell you that, you know.
Yeah.
So we'll certainly send you that. In fact, you know, we've moved into now saving these on the app itself, so we don't have to send you a link, you see. So you don't
have.
Yeah. So they're actually found on our app as well. All of these conversations that we are having, they are there. I'll just send you
a directory. There's one more.
Yeah.
Just quickly.
Yeah.
When you're making purchases during the silly period, please refrain from using debit cards, rather use credit cards, because there's built-in insurance on credit cards rather than debit cards.
Sure. A lot of us carry debit cards, though.
Yes, but use a credit card.
Sure.
If you can make use of a digital one, even
better. Yeah, yeah.
Definitely refrain from making online purchases with debit cards. Online purchases and debit cards are not friends.
Are not friends. That makes sense. Okay. I've learned I'm not going to be anywhere near online things on my debit card. Yeah. A lot of us have a lot of that. Muyewa, thank you so much, man. Really appreciate your time.
Pleasure. Thank you.
Have a good one.
You are tuned into Business Sense on Adventist World Radio, powered by SID Media.